But when he revealed or fulfilled the plan that basically said, look, I love humanity so much that in order for them to be where we are, I'm going to go to earth and be one of them. I'm going to, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to set aside much of my divinity so that I can be like them, fully God, but still fully human. And I'm going to be the perfect sacrifice so that they can have their sins forgiven and be made like us and be adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God. And I have to believe that when the angels appeared before the shepherds, they were incredulous that the God of the universe was going to do this for us. All of us have associations with people that we are supposed to love. And the people that we are supposed to love make it really hard to do that sometimes. Isn't that true? Really hard. And so sometimes if they do a really good job at making it really hard, we just walk away. But God did not do that to us. So, and I've read this before, and actually I think this is so good that this ought to be a regular reading in most churches every Christmas Eve. I think this is a classic description of how Lucado describes Jesus 2,000 years ago. After his birth, Lucado says, he looks like anything but a king. His face is prunish and red. His cry, though strong and healthy, is still the helpless and piercing cry of a baby. And he's absolutely dependent upon Mary for his well-being. Majesty in the midst of the mundane. Holiness in the filth of sheep manure and sweat. Divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager, in the presence of a carpenter. She touches the face of the infant God. How long was your journey? She says. This baby had overlooked the universe. These rags keeping him warm were the robes of eternity. His golden throne room had been abandoned in favor of a dirty sheep pen. And worshiping angels had been replaced with kind but bewildered shepherds. Meanwhile, the city hums. The merchants are unaware that God has visited their planet. The innkeeper would never believe that he had just sent God into the cold. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. They were all too busy to consider the possibility. Those who missed His Majesty's arrival that night missed it, not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking. Little has changed 2,000 years. Are you missing it? Is it easy to be distracted by what is going on in the everyday ins and outs of our lives that we miss what Jesus did 2,000 years ago and all of the importance? Look, many people think that Jesus' suffering began the week before his crucifixion. The suffering of Jesus Christ began the moment he became a human being. Do you think he couldn't remember what it was like to be God? The glory, the honor, all those things that made up his nature and his environment? Of course he did. But he set that all aside to become you and me. Lucado goes on to say, the omnipotent in one instant made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became perishable. He was larger than the universe. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be, dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus, sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God came near. He came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one who first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla, no gender reveal party. Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would be no gifts. There's something about keeping the divine that keeps him distant and packaged and predictable. I mean, after all, God is supposed to love us, right? We're entitled to his love. And we keep him oftentimes in a place that we reserve for a celestial Santa Claus, somebody who watches over us, somebody who gives us gifts. But don't do that. For heaven's sake, don't. Let him be as human as he intended to be. Let him into the mire and muck of our world. And if you're like me, you probably have some mire and muck in your world. For only if we let him in can he pull us out. Listen to him. Love your neighbor was spoken by a man whose neighbors tried to kill him. The challenge to leave family for the gospel was issued by one who kissed his mother goodbye in a doorway. Pray for those who persecute you came from the lips that would soon be begging God to forgive his murderers. I am with you always are the words of a God who in one instant did the impossible to make it all possible for you and me. And it all happened in a moment, a most remarkable moment, that the Word became flesh and God came near to us 2,000 years ago. And so we have where the angels appeared. And when they appeared, as I said, they appeared before the shepherds. And so we read in Luke chapter 2, and I don't know if you know this, but of the four Gospels, only two Gospels record the nativity event. And so these angels show up and they lead with joy. And they lead with joy because of this remarkable thing that I just described to you. And that what I just described to you, he did for you and me because he wants us back. Because if you don't love Jesus, if we haven't repented of our sins, if we haven't asked Christ into our life, then we don't have him and he really doesn't have us. But those angels knew what he wanted to do, and they could begin to see what he was about and how he was doing it. And so they showed up, and they sung with joy. And so as they sung with joy, they did so because of the remarkable thing of him not only becoming human, but because he wanted to save us. And actually, in the Gospel of Luke, this whole idea of God's salvation for us is all wrapped up in the nativity event. And I don't know if you've ever seen it before. I spoke about this several weeks ago, and so I just want to spend a moment or two longer on this and remind us of this. So I've done a series on the four most important words of the nativity event. And so the first one was joy. The second one was peace. The third one was peace. What is it? Oh, Emmanuel. And the fourth one was worship. But of that whole narrative, the most important word in there is peace. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to them, you can turn to Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, where it says this. Luke records, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So Gabriel shows up, and he's speaking to the shepherds, and then these angels show up, and they sing this about God and to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. God wants us to have peace with him. And so Jesus shows up to establish that peace. And so when we see this then in the larger context, we see that if you want to look at the bigger context of chapter 2, it begins with verse 8. It says this, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear, as they should have been. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news.'" That word good news, that phrase means gospel, "of great joy that will be for all the people." I bring good word. I bring this great news to you, this good news for everyone. "For unto you today is born this day in the city of David a Savior," a person who will save you from your sins, "who is Christ the Lord, the Anointed One," a person who is all-powerful. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now, many of you are familiar with the KJV version of that. And the KJV version says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men." But the interpreters of KJV got it kind of wrong. Maybe it was because of the manuscripts they had at the time. I don't know. But it reads, "Good news for all the people." In Luke 2:10, it says, "Good news for all the people." And by reading Luke 2:10, "Good news for all the people," they projected into Luke 2:14, "Peace and goodwill to all men." But that is not what it says in the original Greek. The good news is offered to all mankind. Peace with God is offered only to those with whom he is pleased. So let me ask you this question. Do you know that God is pleased with you? In this worship here tonight, do you know that God is pleased with you? Do you know the status of what you have in your relationship with Christ? Are you sure that you know? Or do you think that you're entitled to God's love and to his grace and forgiveness? Because if it's that, then you may not be pleasing God. And so I just want to say, during this Advent season, as we conclude it tonight and as we go into this next year, for you to rethink, is God pleased with you and me? Have we given our heart to Christ? Is he Lord of our lives as well as Savior? Do we feel and experience his pleasure because of that status that we have, where he has chosen to adopt us into his heavenly family? That's why we sing these songs. All of those songs that we sang before him, some of them have great theology. They describe what's supposed to be. and the song that we will sing that you will hear after this, and then the song that we will sing, Silent Night, it all describes who Christ is and what he really has done for us. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for your good word, and thank you that you've come to establish peace with us. That when we are in a sinful state, we are not at peace with you. That when we have not asked Jesus Christ to save us from our sin, that we are hostile to you. And if we are hostile to you, then your favor does not rest upon us. But if we confess that and we seek forgiveness and ask Jesus to take away our sin, then our sin is forgiven. And we have peace with God. Help us, we pray, to pursue that and to love that and to be mindful of that during this Christmas season, this Advent time of the year. More than anything else, may that be the gift that we treasure and that our family treasures as well. In your name we pray these things. Amen.
The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel.
Child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling now from the sea of hurt. Oh, come, to the
our service with communion. So if you know and love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to celebrate and commemorate his life and death through the Lord's Supper, we'd like to invite you to be a part of that. So I believe we have four. Okay. So if the elders would come forward. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of him, drawing upon this strength, so that as you eat this and consume him, you don't become him. I mean, he doesn't become you, but you become him. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, eat this in remembrance of him. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, eat this in remembrance of him. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you. It washes away our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood on our behalf. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, drink this in remembrance of him. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, drink this in remembrance of him. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. This time we're going to all stand and conclude the service with singing Silent Night. I want to encourage you again to join us for a brief reception afterwards. Please be careful of the candles, the people in front of you, especially their hair, and maybe the chair to a lesser degree. Blow your candle out and hold it for a minute, let the wax dry, and then there's a basket in the back there right as you came in. You can drop it off in there, okay? Thank you very much. God, that Jesus, our Savior, was born. It is that we celebrate tonight and tomorrow. Thank you for your great gift to us. In your name we pray, and all said, Amen. Amen.